College Basketball Insider.
Some news and notes from around the world of college basketball.
In studio correspondent for WFAN and CBS Sports Radio.
Attention, please, to John Rothstein. Please report to St. Joe's.
The Insider's Insider.
Joining us now with his thoughts and to break it down, John Rothstein.
It's College Hoops Today with John Rothstein.
Let's put the women and children to bed and go looking for dinner. John Rothstein here on the College Hoops Today podcast. Later in this show, we will be joined by newly minted Xavier head coach Travis Steele. Want to remind you to subscribe to the College Hoops Today podcast on iTunes. We want to be your Bible for the college basketball season and beyond. We are the only college basketball podcast coming to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. Also want to remind you to check out the College Hoops Today fan page on Facebook. Give us a like, give us a review. Let us know what you think of the product we're bringing to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. And also send me your questions on Twitter. I'll get to them later in this podcast. I'm at John Rothstein. That's John, J-O-N. And today's episode of the College Hoops Today podcast is brought to you by Geico. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. All it takes is 15 minutes to find out if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. And Geico offers coverage for more than just car insurance. Got a motorcycle? Geico's got you covered. Got an RV? Covered. Got a boat? Covered. How about homeowners or renters insurance? You bet Geico's got you covered. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save. That's geico.com. And now that we've got you all set with Geico for all your insurance needs, let's get into the elephant in the room right now in college basketball, and that was the College Basketball Commission last week releasing their findings through Condoleezza Rice, the former Secretary of State in Indianapolis. There were a lot of different takeaways from this press conference. There were a lot of people who had differing opinions. This is what we know, and this is what I have learned, okay, since that press conference last Wednesday with Condoleezza Rice at the podium. This is what I think we can draw as a fair conclusion. The one and done in college basketball is likely to go away at some point, whether it's after next season or the following year. That is going to be something that is closer to its conclusion than its beginning. So what does that mean, in my opinion, for programs that rely on the one and done? How do Duke and Kentucky rebrand themselves and reconfigure their recruiting philosophy moving forward if one-and-done prospects are no longer going to be a part of college basketball? Now, what does that mean? If one-and-done prospects were not eligible to play the last couple of years, guys like Marvin Bagley, Wendell Carter, Trayvon Duval, Gary Trent Jr., Kevin Knox, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, the list goes on, would not be a part of college basketball. Now, John Calipari was the Pied Piper of this model. He started at Memphis by taking Derrick Rose and then Tyreek Evans the year after that, and that type of mindset funneled through all the way to Kentucky when he got the job in Lexington in 2009. And I want to point out this. One and dones are eventually going away, but that is still the only way for Duke to win a national championship next season, because Mike Krzyzewski, throughout his entire Hall of Fame career, has never probably had a recruiting coup like he has this year, getting the top three players in the class of 2018 to commit to Duke. RJ Barrett, Cameron Reddish, and of course Zion Williamson. But my theory is this. If you now know that this is going to eventually be in a situation where it's no longer an option, does Duke go back to being vintage Duke with guys like Collins and Wojciechowski and J.J. Redick? Do they go back to getting program guys? And as far as Kentucky goes, I look at Kentucky, and even though next season, of course, they're reloading, I think they're going to have a lot of guys back. Kwadi Green and Nick Richards have already said that they're coming back. And John Calipari, again, with three guys in his rotation right now, PJ Washington, Wenyen Gabriel, and Jared Vanderbilt, who have entered the 2018 NBA draft but have not retained an agent, giving them the ability to come back to school. And I think Kentucky, and again, a lot has to happen. You hear about rumors of reclassification for players in the 2019 class that come up to the 2018 class. Prospects like Ashton Hagans and Tyrese Maxey. Hagans has committed so far. Maxey has not. I think from a depth perspective, if everything goes as I think it's going to go, and that's what I'm starting to hear more and more of, it's that those two players, Hagans and Maxey, will reclassify to 18, and Kentucky's going to get at least a couple of these guys back to school. From a depth perspective, Kentucky next year is going to be built similar to the way it was in 14-15 when it went 38-0 before losing in the Final Four to Wisconsin. But what I'm curious about is, whenever we find out when this rule is going to really go away and players are either going to have to go to the NBA draft or go to the G League, how do these two programs move forward with their recruiting philosophy? And another thing, too, that really, in my opinion, is swept under the rug with everything that the commission released last Wednesday, I believe it's on page 6 of the report released by Condoleezza Rice and the Basketball Commission, where it says that the commission is going to recommend that transfers in college basketball retain the same policy that currently exists, and that's that all transfers, with the exception of grad transfers, have to sit at least a year before becoming eligible. And there has been a lot of talk about this throughout the college basketball media, that, you know, transfers were eventually going to be allowed to play if they received a certain academic component without sitting out. This has been debated back and forth. I have always been an advocate that transfers should sit a year, and everybody says, well, coaches don't have to sit a year if they change jobs. Yeah, but coaches have to pay massive buyouts. Coaches have to give financial terms to their current employer if they wish to leave and take a job with another employer. Everybody wants to talk about players' rights, and players should have certain rights. If you want to switch schools, you want to go and start somewhere else, you've got to sit out unless you're a college graduate. And the college graduate who is now going and being in a situation where he is able to play without penalty, that rule was set in place, okay, from an academic standpoint, and then it's turned into a major recruiting tool in college basketball. The initiation of that rule when it started was not to present college coaches with an opportunity to get people because they had finished their, you know, requirements as a college graduate. That was not the intent of the rule. It was the intent to reward college graduates. And obviously, you know, 8-9 years ago, when things started to progress with grad transfers and we saw a handful a year, it has become over the top, and has become a situation where it is significantly harder to be a low or a mid-major coach right now than it was 10 to 15 years ago. Because if you have a player that puts up numbers really early in his career, he's transferring up. And if you have a player that, again, is capable of contributing at a higher level and will get demand and social media attention from graduating and then playing somewhere else, he's going to do it. And it's just a fact of life. One head coach that will be forced to handle all of these situations and more is Xavier head coach Travis Steele. He makes his debut, his first ever appearance, on the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein coming up next. Xavier was a number one seed in the NCAA tournament for the first time in school history last season, and the Musketeers, keeping with tradition, promoting in-house. The associate head coach, Travis Steele, is now the head man at the Cintas Center, and the aforementioned head coach makes his debut right now on the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. And, Coach, we have seen a number of interviews that you have done since being named head coach at Xavier. We've listened to them. We've obviously spent a great deal of time transcribing them, but there is one question that has been ignored in all these interviews, and it was brought to my attention by your predecessor, Chris Mack. Why did you hit the dirt when you threw out the pitch in the Xavier baseball game recently?
You know what? I should have went with my fastball. I went with a changeup, John. But it was, you know, it wasn't a one hopper. It was just in the dirt. It was just in the dirt.
Fair enough. Other than throwing the first pitch in that game, what have been the biggest changes in your day-to-day routine since being associate head coach and now being named the head coach at Xavier?
You know, I just think managing holistically, you know, the program, you know, whether it's, you know, our current players, recruiting, staff, you know, I've been working on obviously hiring a staff, which we're almost complete. You know, obviously, you know, you got to get used to saying no a lot. You know, there's a lot of requests. To speak, to do different types of interviews and things, and you really got to be able to streamline things and kind of figure out what's important and what's not, you know, for your time management wise, and just so you're spending, you know, your most of your time on the important things, which are your players in that locker room and recruiting, and then you know, coaching up our players, getting those guys better.
You know, and the thing about when changes happen in the coaching world during, you know, the month of March is everything happens so fast. As I mentioned, Xavier was a one seed for the first time in school history. You have a very tough loss to Florida State in the round of 32. What was it like after that buzzer went off against Florida State up until the time that, you know, you found out Chris Mack was going to take the Louisville job?
You know, I think the season, the finality of the season, I can't even really put it into words. You know, you feel all different types of emotions. You know, no matter when you lose in the NCAA tournament, whether it's the second round, which we did, obviously in round of 32 this year at Florida State, you know, you feel disappointed, you know, sad, mad, you know, sad in a way that we can't, you know, we don't have the ability to coach Trayvon Blewett, J.P. McCura, Karim Cantor, and Sean O'Meara anymore. Those guys did a terrific job for us and helped elevate the program to where it's at. You know, and then you kind of go through, you know, obviously the season ended, and, you know, like you said, March moves so quickly with all the coaching changes. And, you know, Chris Mack told me, and he was very transparent with our entire team as well, John, that he was going to meet with Louisville officials to at least speak about the job. You know, he let our guys know about it. You know, he wanted to be very upfront and honest. He didn't want them to see it on Twitter or see anything going on. So, you know, that kind of changed my path because I was involved with a couple other head jobs as well. Not to say that I would have gotten them or taken them, but I was involved with a few. So it kind of changed my thought process as well. You know, and obviously led me here to being here today with you on this podcast.
When did you think that Coach Mack leaving Xavier for Louisville was a real possibility?
I knew when he said he was going to meet with him. You know, he's not a guy you know, he doesn't like the whole dog and pony show. You know, that's when I knew. I was like, yeah, you know, I think this thing actually has some could be real. And like I said, he was transparent with everybody the entire time and very honest. And that's probably when I figured out, hey, this thing has a real, you know, possibility to happen. And not that, John, there's no guarantees that I was getting this job. Mm-hmm. You know, and Greg Christopher, he told me that, and I was fine with that. He wanted to get the best head coach for Xavier, not necessarily just because we've always promoted from within, you know, and all that stuff, you know, and which I completely respected, you know, his process.
Xavier head coach Travis Steele joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Now, when you found out Chris Mack was going to be in a situation where he was ultimately leaving Xavier for Louisville, what was it like from that moment when you found out that he was going to Louisville to the moment where you found out that you were going to be Xavier's next head coach?
You know, I give Greg Christopher, athletic director, a lot of credit. You know, that when Chris Mack met with our team down in the locker room, you know, Greg actually came upstairs and met with me for, you know, 15, 20 minutes that night. And, you know, he basically said, hey, here's going to be the process. You know, we're going to go to San Antonio. We're going to interview, you know, 5 to 7 candidates. And, you know, we would love for you to be one of them. You know, we got to find the best guy for Xavier. And, you know, I was confident the whole time, John. And the reason I was confident was because I've been here for 10 years. You know, I've had a six-year interview with Greg Christopher, who's been the athletic director here for the last 6 years. And so he knows me really well. He knows what he would be getting with me. And, you know, so I was very confident the entire time. I had a quiet confidence. I felt like I was the right guy for the job. You know, my brother, John Gross, who's the head coach at Akron, basically told me, he said, hey, don't worry about anybody else. Don't worry about Twitter. Don't worry about social media. Don't worry about rumors, you know, just put your head down, just focus on you and focus on what you're going to do to help Xavier take the next step, how you know, sell your vision, your philosophy, and then everything will work out. And, you know, it was a pretty quick process, we were very, you know, fortunate to, you know, San Antonio, obviously, a lot of college coaches, almost everybody in the country goes there. So everybody was able to interview down there and get the thing wrapped up. You know, I got a little nervous, John. I'll be honest with you. The only time I got nervous, I usually don't get nervous, was at the very end, because that's when it becomes real, when you know, hey, you're getting it or you're not. But I did feel pretty confident throughout the whole process.
Where were you when you found out that you got the job?
In the Minger Hotel down in San Antonio. You know, Greg had hit me and said, hey, we need to talk. You know, do you have a few minutes to meet up? And it was that Saturday around 11 a.m. I knew it was kind of coming, like mm-hmm. a little bit, that, you know, there was going to be some type of decision that day. You know, so you know, they asked me to stick around San Antonio for another day as they were trying to talk things through after, you know, completing all the interviews. You know, but so I got up early in the morning, got a run in, man. I just kind of went about my day, a normal day. I never really stressed about it until, like I said, until I probably got that call. He said he wanted to meet up. Then that's when you start thinking for the first time, like, this may not happen. But thank God he told me it was my job.
Now, that's the interesting thing, because that's a lifelong dream to be named a Division I head coach, and it's probably another dream to be a Division I head coach at a place like Xavier. But on top of that, with great privilege becomes great responsibility. So now all of a sudden you have this job, but all of a sudden you have people hitting you up saying congratulations, asking for jobs. How hard has it been, and how hard was it to process everything that was happening after it became public that you were going to be Xavier's head coach?
You know, it's been hard. It can become overwhelming. You know, I had 1,200 text messages within 3 hours of me being announced on that Saturday. And you know, I talked to first thing I did was I talked to all the players on the team. You know, I called every one of them, called their parents, called their coaches, to share the excitement. And, then I called the priority recruits in 2019 and some guys that are going to be graduate transfers, John, like that, because that market moves quick. Mm-hmm. And, you know, then obviously I had to call the people that are around Xavier, whether it's our president, Father Graham, whether it's a couple big boosters. Just to tell them how grateful I was for this opportunity here at Xavier. And, but it can become overwhelming. And, you know, Sean Miller, you know, I texted every boss that I've ever worked for, whether it's Chris Mack, Sean Miller, Thad Mata, Steve Woody, who was a high school coach. Like, I texted all those guys, Kelvin Sampson, said, hey, thank you for everything you guys have done for me and my career, or else I wouldn't have this opportunity. And Sean Miller, actually, I spoke with him, and he said, hey, you got to focus on what's important, you know, during this whole deal. He said, focus on the players, focus on recruiting, and then focus on hiring a staff. Get back to all those people that are texting you just whenever you can. You know, that may be in May. He said, and that's okay. You know, like, don't focus on what's important. Otherwise, you know, it can become very, very overwhelming.
You know, you mentioned right there some of the people that you work for, Sean Miller, Chris Mack, Thad Mata, and Kelvin Sampson. What are the biggest things that you took from those guys that you're going to apply to your own program right now at Xavier?
I think you take little things from each of them, you know, and I'm going to be my own guy. And, you know, but you do, you know, I've taken things from Kelvin, from Thad. You know, Thad was one of the most positive human beings I've ever been around. You know, he had a really good job. He did such a good job of keeping practice tight, understanding how to keep players fresh mentally and physically. And there's a reason why his teams, I think, always did really well late in the year. And then you look at a guy like, you know, Sean Miller. Sean Miller knows how to run a program. He's very systematic in everything that he does. He's like a CEO, and which I think that's what the position is nowadays in college basketball. It's so much more than just coaching. You look at Chris Mack. Chris Mack is one of the most organized people I've ever been around. And he's a tremendous communicator. He knows who he's talking to. He could talk to, you know, a 16-year-old prospective student athlete and be able to really connect with him. And then 15 minutes later, he has the ability to connect with maybe a 50-year-old booster. Kelvin, I think the relationships he had with his players, John, those guys would run through a brick wall for him. You know, how much time he spent with them, how hard he got those guys to be able to play because of the relationships that he had with those guys. So I picked up little things from each of those guys. You know, I am going to be my own guy, and I'm very, very, very grateful for all those guys. You know, they've had a huge impact on my career. you know, Chris allowed me, Mac allowed me to do a lot here at Xavier, you know, with the offense and the development and the recruiting. So I've gotten a lot of experience, which is good. You know, and again, like I said, but I am going to be my own guy.
Well, you know, we mentioned, obviously, just a couple of guys that you work for, and you mentioned somebody else earlier in this interview, and that's, you know, who's now the head coach of Akron, and that's John Gross. He was also the head coach at Illinois and Ohio, where he led Ohio to the Sweet 16 in 2012. What is it like to have somebody like that as a sounding board in your own family? Not in college basketball, but within your own personal circle.
Yeah, I mean, it's great. I mean, it's huge. You know, I trust him implicitly. So I can run anything by him. And he's seen a little bit of everything, you know, at this level. And he knows what it's like to go from, you know, being an assistant coach to being a head coach. You know, he's great as a sounding board in all things. Like I said, I trust him implicitly, and he does a really good job. And I know he has my best interest at heart. So it's a great sounding board for me.
Now, you've been at Xavier, like you mentioned, for a decade. What's the biggest way that this program has changed since it joined the Big East?
You know, I think recruiting. I think it starts probably right there, John. I think the Big East has allowed us to be able to recruit a little bit of a higher level player than what we could in the A-10. I think Xavier still stands for the same thing. So I think, like, you know, I think if hopefully, you know, teams around the Big East will say, hey, Xavier is a tough, nasty team on the floor, and that's not going to change, and that's who we are. It's part of our fabric. We want to be a blue collar team, with a chip on our shoulder. And you know, but I do think, you know, and again, I know much has been said about how Jay Wright's recruited at Villanova, you know, getting the right fit, you know, and I think that's so important here as well, at Xavier. You know, we want to get the guys that fit the culture that we have, but it has, you know, allowed us to be able to expand a little bit recruiting-wise since going in the Big East. You know, no longer are we playing in playing at Fordham. Now we're playing at St. John's. You know, like it's just the talent level's just been a little bit different. It's been a big jump, and I saw that transition. You know, being here for the last 10 years, I saw it with my own two eyes. And you know, it's got its challenges. You know, what challenges we have here at Xavier, you know, changing leagues. And we've had great success, you know, during our first five years here in the Big East, and hopefully we can continue that.
Now, Travis, when we have new head coaches on here, I usually ask them what are the impressions of the team that they've inherited, but you know the team you've inherited because you've been in Xavier's program for so long. What are your impressions of the team you're going to coach next season as a head coach compared to, obviously, what you saw last year and seasons before as an associate head coach?
Man, I'm excited. I think we are tough. We are versatile. This could be the best defensive group that we've had since I've been here at Xavier. You know, Quentin Gooden can guard 1 through 5. Paul Scruggs can guard 1 through 5. Najee Marshall can guard 1 through 5. We are versatile. We are tough. I love our guard. You know, I think a lot of times, John, I think, you know, guard plays is obviously very, very critical in college basketball. We got good guards. And I think Tyreek Jones up front is one of the toughest, nastiest big men in the country. And he's going to have an incredible offseason. I think people are going to be shocked how good he's going to be next year. And so I think we got some really good pieces that again, fit that the culture, the toughness, the competing and everything that we do. You know, that's what those guys are. That's who they are. And that's who we recruit, you know. And I think that gives us a chance to be a pretty dang good team.
Now, one player who, and this is another part of being a head coach for the first time you have to deal with, that put his name into the NBA draft without hiring an agent is Kaiser Gates. What is the latest update on his situation, and how does he factor into Xavier next year at the 4 spot?
I mean, you know, obviously, first and foremost, we're going to support whatever Kaiser wants and he and his family want to do. And if that's to go pro, that's to go pro. If it's to come back, obviously, it's to come back. And I have made sure that Kaiser knows that and his family. That we're here to help him. You know, we want what's best for Kaiser, first and foremost, not necessarily always Xavier. And we want what's best for him, whatever that is. And I wanted him to be able to go through this process and get good feedback from different NBA teams and the underclassmen advisory committee on what he should do. And you know, he could play a big piece to the, you know, for us next year. You know, I think he's obviously a guy that can really shoot the ball and defend on the other end of the floor as well. I love his versatility, you know, so I think he could be a really, really important piece for us, this upcoming season.
Has your relationship with the players changed at all since you moved to head coach from associate head coach?
You know, it's funny. Like I said, this is the first thing I said in our first team meeting. I told those guys, like, I'm not going to change. I'm the same person. I'm going to love them. I'm going to care about them. I'm going to always have an open-door policy. But at the same time, I'm going to hold them to a very, very high standard. I'm going to be very, very demanding. I'm going to be invested in them as people, as students, and as players. And so, no, I would say, honestly, the exact same. I think, you know, again, you're going to have tough conversations with guys. I mean, it's just what it is. That's how we develop men. But I had those when I was the associate head coach as well. So no, not necessarily. I don't think so. I don't think it's really changed a whole lot.
Xavier head coach Travis Steele joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. First time Coach Steele has joined this podcast as a head coach, and we are continuing to put him in the crosshairs as we wrap this thing up here in the last leg of this interview. You had mentioned, too, the importance of hiring a good staff. You have made two assistant coaching hires thus far, Ben Johnson, who is at Minnesota, and Jonas Hayes, who is at Georgia. Is there any update on the third spot of your staff right now?
You know, I do think, John, I think hiring your staff is the most important thing you can do as a head coach. And you got it's like putting a team together, you know, putting an orchestra together. You know, you could have two of the world's best cello players, but it doesn't really matter. You only need one of them. Everybody's got to play their part, and they got to fit together. So I started off, I wanted to get a guy that I knew could do a really good job of developing post players and had a name for that. And Jonas was a name that kept on coming back to me. And obviously he does a tremendous job recruiting as well, but he can coach our players. He can be a mentor for our players. And then Ben Johnson, same way on the perimeter side of the floor. You know, like, I think he does a great job coaching. He's going to make guys better. He played at a high level, just like Jonas. He can recruit. He can do it all. So I feel like I got two really, really, really good ones. So my thing is I was going to evaluate what we have. I'm in no rush at all. I mean, I don't care if I make a hire until June, to be very honest. Like, we are up and running because we were able to keep Mario Mercurio, our director of basketball administrator, our strength coach, Matt Jennings, and Jeremy Groh, our director of basketball operations. We were able to keep those three guys. So there's familiar faces, but also some new blood, you know, to get them up and running. And I just kind of want to see, hey, what are we missing? What do we need to add to our staff? Obviously, we want to have the best staff in the country.
Final thing for me, Travis, we have seen Xavier promote from within and have tremendous success. We have seen it the last two times the job is open with Sean Miller and Chris Mack. Everyone in this program, going back to Bob Stack and Pete Gillen, has had success as a head coach. Despite all that pressure, why is it a positive rather than a negative?
I think you want to go to a place that has expectations. I mean, that's what we do this for. That's what we work all these hours for. It's like, the support that we get, John, like, we're at 101% capacity here at all of our games. Doesn't matter whether we're playing a Division II exhibition game or whether we're playing Georgetown. Like, this thing is going to be sold out. They live and breathe basketball here at Xavier. There's no college football here. And, you know, so saying that, there is a lot of pressure, but that's what you want. I want to win. I want to win a national championship. I want to get this thing to a Final Four. I want to compete for Big East championships and Big East Conference tournament championships, and this place can do it. There's no question about it. And it's going to be a lot of work, obviously, and we know that. And we want to keep taking this program, grow the program, just like Chris Mack did, Sean Miller, Thad Matta, Skip Brosser, Pete Gillen, Bob Stack, all those guys did. So it is a huge responsibility. I don't look at it as pressure at all. I look at it as a great opportunity, and I'm very, very fortunate to be in.
Well, Travis, we appreciate a couple minutes. Know how busy you are just getting off the road from recruiting. Best of luck in the spring recruiting period and look forward to staying connected along the way.
Sounds good, John. Thank you.
We'd like to thank Xavier head coach Travis Steele for joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Want to remind you to subscribe to the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein on iTunes. We want to be your Bible for the college basketball season and beyond. We are the only college basketball podcast coming to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. And also, want to remind you to check out the College Hoops Today fan page on Facebook. Give us a like, give us a review. Let us know what you think of the product we're bringing to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. And time now for our social media portion of the College Hoops Today podcast. podcast with John Rothstein. Send me your questions on Twitter. I'm at John Rothstein. That's John, J-O-N. And our first question comes from Jack Quaglino, and it's, John, how do you think LSU stacks up against the rest of the SEC next season? LSU, to me, Jack, is one of the more fascinating teams in college basketball. Entering next season, a tremendous recruiting class. Emmett Williams, Javonte Smart, Naz Reid, obviously Tremont Waters expected to be back as well. LSU right now, I think you could say, looks like a 23-24 win team, excellently coached by Will Wade. I think LSU looks like a dark horse Final Four team and a second weekend team right now when you start projecting for the 2018-19 season. Our next question comes from Addison Patrick, and it's, John, how much will Iowa State bounce back this year? What's the ceiling for them next year? Well, obviously, Lindell Wigginton is going to be one of the better players in the Big 12 next year. And for Iowa State, it all goes back to what? Transfers. How does Mariel Shayok do after sitting out, after transferring from Virginia? How does Michael Jacobson do after sitting out, obviously, from Nebraska? Those are the million-dollar questions in Ames right now. Now that we've got you set for all your social media needs, let's get to some nuggets.
Five good nuggets.
Five.
Six.
No, five. But you were close.
Nugget number one, a changing of the guard. Per the NCAA, college coaches will now have up to 4 hours a week to do skill work with their team during the offseason. This is a huge rule, in my opinion. It now allows college coaches, if they want, to have 4 one-hour practices with their team in order to get ready for the next week and in order to get ready for the next season. Up to this point, coaches had only been allowed 2 hours of skill work a week. You go to four, you can do a lot of different things. Like I said, you can have 4 one-hour practices, you can have 2 two-hour practices. A lot of positives right now with this rule. Nugget number two, horns up. Texas with a huge commitment last week, landing 4-star point guard Courtney Ramey. If Kerwin Roach returns to school, again, he entered the 2018 NBA draft without an agent, next year's Texas team could be Shaka Smart's best yet in Austin. You have Matt Coleman and Ramey in the backcourt. Roach is an athletic wing. Dylan Ossetkowski at the four. And then a major, major breakout guy in Jericho Sims. Remember that name, Jericho Sims, a major breakout guy. Nugget number three, the struggle is real. And I talked about this a little bit in my open. We saw a scenario over the weekend where two players from Samford transferred up as grad transfers to higher level schools. Justin Coleman went to Arizona and Wyatt Walker went to NC State. The head coach of Samford is Scott Padgett, former Kentucky star, was on the 98 national championship team. He also lost a player early in his career, Tim Williams, to New Mexico. How do you keep a mid-major team together when you're always losing players to higher levels? The answer, you can't. Nugget number four, forecasting the pack. Old Dominion grad transfer Trey Porter committed to Nevada last week, and a nice pickup for Eric Musselman. But this, to me, is the team to really keep an eye on during its NBA draft process, because Nevada has three players, Caleb and Cody Martin and also Jordan Caroline, in the NBA draft process without an agent. If all three came back, Nevada could win a national championship. If two players came back, Nevada could be in a scenario where it's a top 15 team. And if one came back, Nevada might be able to crack the top 25. No team will ride the seesaw more between now and May 30th than Eric Musselman and Nevada. And then nugget number five, clarity for 18-19. Over the next month, you are going to see more and more clarity with personnel heading into next season, because players are going to start announcing that they're coming back to school after we saw so many kids enter the NBA draft process without an agent. I think we'll see more and more clarity on that with each passing day in college basketball. We'd like to thank Xavier's Travis Steele for joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. We'll be back next week, same bat time, same bat channel. This was the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein.